Bring a Bible.
Yes.
Any nose? Bessa? Any nose? If you got one, go ahead and turn in the New Testament to Luke chapter 24. My name is Tim Sin. If you don't know me, does anybody know me? Wave your hand so I don't have to do this. You know? You don't know me? For those of you who don't know me, sorry.
Are you Paul?
I'm Paul Sin. David. Jerry. I'm Tim Sin. I'm obviously one of the clan here. My father's Jerry Sin. You may have met Jerry. He's visited out here, I'm sure, with you. Starting is always the hard part. Luke chapter 24. Is everybody there? If you don't have a Bible, just look for one or ask for one. We'll get you one. I really would like you to have one. Because I might ask you to read. Yeah. Just kidding. The starting is the hard part for me this morning. That's not usually the case. I talk rather easily. Or free flowing, as you might want. But there's so much I wanted to say, right? Can I give you the first year or two in preface to what I want to say? The other day, when I got here to Nashville, I was picked up at the airport by Davey, my cousin. We talk a lot, as you can imagine, Davey and our family in general, about spiritual things and church things and the Word and our faith. We're a very close family because of our faith. I'm sure this group is growing closer and closer every day to each other as a family of faith. The times I've visited here, I see it more every time I'm here. I see it in the eyes of each one of you. I see Christ in your eyes and in your hearts every time I'm here, more every time. So you'll understand that when we get together and we start those conversations, we tend to go deep right off the bat. You know, we've been waiting all this time, especially for me. I've been gone away for maybe a year in Texas. I finally banging heads with my family, and we just go deep immediately. And I think we're picking at each other's soul on purpose. I think we're looking for a knowledge of the relationship that we know we share and to touch that again. And we want to know something deep, something about your heart. How are you feeling about Christ and your faith? And we're not asking each other those questions. I just think we go talking about those kind of things immediately. Because we care. We love each other. We have a relationship that's founded in our family. Y'all know the story of the Sin family, I'm sure, because they're here around you and among you. It goes back years, you know, to Granddad Doc and Grandma Vera that we cherish. That family was close to us, and you've heard us say this, I'm sure, because of Christ, because of what has happened spiritually in our family. And we grew close to Christ and to Him through our family. That's what you're doing, right? Somebody nod every now and again so I know I'm not losing you, okay? Because I have that problem. I think I'm losing you. This family is here today for what purpose? Did you think about that when you got up this morning? I smelled something cooking in downstairs. Well, that's why I woke up. When you got up this morning and you said, well, I got to go. I got to get to see it's raining now. It's cold outside. What were you thinking? You're going about preparing to what? You can say just where? What? What? Is that what you were thinking? Don't say it. If that's what you weren't. If you weren't thinking that, you're thinking, what am I going to wear? Now tell me what you're thinking. But we got up, didn't we? And we're here. But were you thinking this morning when you got up? What were you thinking? Be honest. Feel free to tell me if you can remember this morning. Alarm clock went off, or you punched it a few times and it didn't come back, and then you woke up late, or whatever it was. This morning, just a few hours ago, what were you thinking?
What we've got to do today.
What?
Church and practice. Eating and then.
I'm hungry was the first thing you thought. Seriously, I want you to exercise with me here a minute. What were you thinking this morning? Paul was thinking about all the things we've got planned to try to get done today, because before we have to leave tomorrow. What were you thinking?
Well,
Be honest.
And be honest. Don't tell me a story. If it was, I remember first thinking I've got to get up and I don't know what to wear. Tell me what it was. Tell me. You were thinking about her. Well, y'all are so tight. Siamese twin. Tell me, please. Somebody back here besides my family, what were you thinking?
Time to get up and go to church.
Time to get up and go to church. And what does that mean to you? What did that mean in your heart this morning? Can you tell me, can you share, or did it mean, or did you just think that? I know that was all.
I don't thought that, but it's time to get together and fellowship, sing, pray, and study.
Was that what you were thinking this morning? I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just serious. What is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Was it? Anybody else, please help me out here. I want some. Really? Did you think that this morning? I didn't because I slept in Casey's bed. I told Becky I woke up yesterday morning after sleeping in Casey's room. Thank you, Casey, for letting me sleep. Then I thought I woke up in Vegas. Purple fuzzy thing hanging all over the wall. She's got a stage in her room that she dances on that's got neon lights around it. So we're home all night. It was my nightlight. I'm sorry. Help me out. What else? Tell me what you were thinking before. I really want you to advertise with me. What were you thinking?
Gotta get ready for class.
You were thinking something. So yeah. Gotta get ready for class because you talk.
Right.
Help me out.
Hurry up. It's gonna run late.
Hurry. Gonna be late. And it's raining and all that. Slow you down. Okay. Help me out. Don't make stuff up. You remember. What was it?
Hope I checked my iPod so I got my Bible.
Dude, don't you? I'm going to be honest with you. That was the first thing I thought of. Because I had an iPhone and I had my little touchpad that I didn't put on the charger last night. And I thought, I can't use my touchpad in my lesson with my Bible on it this morning because I didn't. First thing. Help me. Come on. More of you. I want it all.
I was thinking how awesome the singing was going to be today because I knew who all was going to be here. And Jerry was going to be leading the singing.
So you're.
Well, I was really thinking that.
You really were. I really want to know that because we wake up with thoughts in our head, don't we? Every day. But on the Lord's Day, today, first day of the week, the Lord's Day, what were you thinking? I don't have everybody yet. I need some more. Because I know there's a little more out there. What were you thinking? Somebody back in that little group, tell me what you were thinking. Besides, somebody's already gone. Do you remember? Or you just don't remember? Maybe you just don't remember.
Thinking about the weather.
Thinking about the weather. Inclement. Yes, ma'am?
Time to get up and go to church.
Time to get up and go to church. That's right. Were you really thinking that this morning? How do you look when you get up? If that's what you were thinking about. And you've got a conscience, don't you? You don't want people to see you that way. Anybody else, please help me. I want to honestly know what you're... I want to know that you are thinking what I'm asking you to think right now. So tell me. I'm pointing. Tell me. What were you thinking? You got the little scar. It's okay. Okay. Did I get an email? I want you to tell me this. What? You're next. I'm going to go around because y'all don't have
to. I was thinking about the study I'm going to have to do for my test tomorrow.
What are we going to test?
Pharmacy school.
And you were thinking about that on the Lord's Day when you were going?
I was thinking about planning out my rest of my day afterwards.
Okay. I'm messing. I won't mess with all of you. He looked like he could take it. Okay, if you don't remember, I need you to tell me. Those of you who don't remember, just start shaking your head. I do not remember, and I won't ask you. Yeah. You're next in line. Okay, you did. Well, you wanted to stay in bed. Red?
I'm trying to get her up.
Red? Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking of everything I had to do to get
her. And that's huge, isn't it? For moms, especially. Dads don't help out too much with that. We're going back here now. Yes, sir.
Thinking about
but I didn't feel exactly 100% the same.
Really? Ill or just... Just one, don't have
sleep well.
Okay. I get that. I would not really most more. Yes, ma'am. Don't remember? Okay. Yes, ma'am. You don't remember? Got
it? Got one dog in the rain.
Walk the dog in the rain.
I looked at my watch. My first thought was, what time is it? And then my second thought was, I must have hit the snooze alarm or it didn't go off.
Okay. I knew that happened to somebody. Okay, I'm going to quit, but I hope you understand I'm wanting you to think with me, okay? Think. And if it took that, I don't know, what was that, 10 minutes already, maybe? That it took us just now, 5? To get you to actually try to think. What did I think this morning? What was I thinking when I got up? On the Lord's Day, today, what was on my mind? What was on my heart? I know we were planning to come here, or we wouldn't be here right now. I know that was part of the deal. But was that on your mind, what you were coming for? What you were going to do while you were here? Why today, the Lord's Day, I'm up, or I'm about to be, if I can shake myself out of bed, and I'm going down there with my, family. I want to touch. When I see you again, I will be asking you what's going on in your world. I want to touch you. I want to relate to you. Remember, I started there. That's why I'm going back over today. With this familial relationship that I want to have with the people I love, the people who have something down in their soul that I have down in my soul that keeps me going every day of my life. What is that for us that are here today? What keeps us going? What is that thing, that shared and love?
Jesus.
I like that. It is that. But I want Jesus. I'm not looking for trick answers. I shouldn't have teased you. I really want to know you. I want you to think. What is it in here that brings us here next door today when you get up? What will you be thinking? No, I don't want to be here. But that would be good. See, I'm setting you up. Whoever preaching next Sunday, you got it. I'm setting you up. You got it. You are going to be ready. I'm captive audience. Tim's going to know what I'm thinking. Why am I here? I want to know. That's where I'm starting with this lesson this morning. I want to know. Why are we here? I want to know. I want to know why I'm here. I'm going to stop rambling for a moment. And I'm going to go to my notes, which are lengthy. I brought a half a tablet. You know, I have one of those half tablets. I'm not going to pick it. You know, it's a half. And I thought I'd have plenty of room. I have one page left in half a tablet from writing what I wanted to say today, last night. But I brought an extra tablet, so I'll write some while I'm talking. First thing I wrote down to say, to try to get us thinking along these lines, the lines that I want us to go down is, so I'll read some, because I have to remember. I suppose that it is our habit, and when we're honest, it's our practice of faith. It's our habit that brings us here, more often than not. And I don't like to admit that. And I'm talking about myself when I say these. I'm talking about myself. But I think maybe all of us have that problem at one time or another. That the habit. How do you say that? The habit of my. And I'm gonna. The habit of my what I call churchianity is why I'm here today. It's the habit of my churchianity that brings me to this place. A lot of times. Now, I'm not diminishing. There is truth. We love one another. There are things that we are bound together for. But how often do we let the habit of our churchianity be the reason? And sometimes, if we're honest, get us all the way through the service and out the door and back home. And it all that really happened, if we looked back on it and somebody asked us when we got home, what were you thinking the last 2.5 hours? Oh, yes. thinking, what I got to do in the house. And I'm not knocking y'all off. We all are thinking those things. That's what we're thinking. But I want us to think about the habit of churchianity that sometimes can take over our lives. It can get in the way of who? Jesus. That's why we're here. It isn't about what building we go to. I was talking to David this morning and saying, I have a hard time introducing this lesson. And this, as you can tell, I'm having a hard time introducing this lesson. And I said, and he said, that would work. So I'm going to try this. Our Christian dialogue, to me, typically, not even in a 90 percentile range, seems to have devolved in our world to pretty much two things. Hi, how you doing? I'm doing good today. Where do you go to church? Christian conversation. This guy's a Christian. He's not just asking me about football. He's going to talk to me about my faith. Where do you go to church? Is that deep or what? I mean, I'm so thankful when somebody just asks me, where do I go to church? Get a deep conversation going on with this guy. Well, the second question is, well, who's your pastor? If I answer those, first, my thing is, where I go to church is, I usually end up not knowing what to say. Because I worship at my home. I have a little bit of a home church thing going on occasion. I worship at about 3 or 4 other buildings in the local area, not all of which have a sign that says Church of Christ on the front. I worship where I spend most of my free time. At the lake or on the mountain with some friends regularly. Where do I go to church? I'm not sure how to answer that sometimes. Do you ever feel like you're not sure how to answer that? Who's your pastor? Right here. I bet y'all got a tough time answering that. Well, last week it was. And this week it was Tim. And next week, we hope that guy, you know, is a lot better than Tim. How far does our conversation go after that? Does it get down to the questions we're asking this morning already? What was I thinking on the Lord today when I got up to come here, to be here? Is my relationship with Jesus why I get up and breathe every day? I mean, really, really, a relationship, not just what I know, not just what I learned, what I think I'm learning in the process of going habitually down to regularly. I just suppose it's our habit, it's our practice too many times that brings us here. But it's not so very much that much different, I don't think, than the disciples in Luke chapter 24 lived their faith. I think some of their faith was just habit. They're human. What happened in Luke chapter 24? Well, we're gonna try to run through it. Some of us today, go ahead and get this. Some of us today are here with what amounts to troubled hearts and sad hearts. Perhaps. Some of us are here today finding ourselves feeling sometimes, maybe more often than we'd like, that we have slow hearts to believe on certain days of the week. To really put all of my faith in Jesus and that He's going to take care of me and I don't have to take care of it for Him. He will do this struggle that's happening, this problem, this question that I've got to resolve, this test I've got to take, whatever. Jesus, putting all of my faith in Jesus and the relationship with Jesus, that He will answer and take care of my day, my struggles. I have to give it all to Him, not just some of it. Some of us are here today with hearts that regularly are on fire, burning with fire for the Lord and for the search of His Word. Anybody here feel that way about the search of His Word? If you don't raise your hand, but if you do, if you're just one of those people that loves to get down and read and study the Word and you learn just a new nugget or a new something that, oh, that's it. that'll help me. That helps me. And you feel it. I'm not saying it's something you necessarily regurgitate to somebody else, but it's something that you got. You got it from His Word. You ever burn on fire from the Word? I heard some people downstairs in your class this morning expressing a little bit of what I thought I heard was something similar to that kind of thinking. And some of us are here, I'm sure, with peacefully satisfied hearts. I mean, the kind of peace that comes from a real, bona fide relationship, one-on-one with Jesus Christ Himself. And some of us are in all of those different four categories on different given days. Some of us woke up this morning thinking some things. Some of us woke up this morning thinking other things. On that scale that we just kind of went through of where I'm at on today. Troubled, peaceful. It is because of Jesus Himself that all nations, we know this comes right out of the Bible, doesn't it? That all nations can come into the presence of God the Father, in spite of our sinful nature. And well, this seems to be the condition of us today. Are we here? Are y'all with me? Did I get us here? Are we all on the same page? Thank you. I'm glad. I think I got most of it. Luke chapter 24. Especially verse 31 for the first few minutes here that we're talking. Especially verse 31. So go ahead and look at 31. Let's read that right quick. When he was at the table with them. Y'all know this chapter pretty well, I bet. But let's look at it from this new way of thinking this morning that we're trying to develop for each other. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. What do we do when we're together? Most every Sunday. Take Lord's Supper on. This is going to be a huge little verse right here in a few minutes, I hope, for you. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Jesus Himself, that moment, was recognized by them in a new way. A new relationship developed right then and there in their hearts. Being a sinner, myself, washed by the blood of the risen Lamb, again and again, each day I wake, every breath I take, I still remain a sinner, saved again and again by the blood of the risen Lamb. And it is in this intimate relationship with Jesus Himself that I find on this particular Lord's Day morning, the first day of our week, that I rise again by the blood of the risen Lamb, being a sinner, washed by the blood of the risen Lamb again and again. Each day I wake, every breath I take, I still remain a sinner, saved again and again by the blood of the risen Lamb. And it is in this intimate relationship with Jesus Himself that I find on this particular Lord's Day morning, the first day of our week, that I rise again by the blood of the risen Lamb, being a sinner. Well, I can just say that over and I wrote that this morning. And over and over and over and over and over. Over, and sometimes I just don't think I can stop saying it. Because that's me right there. That is me every day of my life. Every moment that I wake. I admit, plenty of moments that I'm not thinking that. I need to be thinking that. I need to be aware of that. Every moment of my day. Isn't it? Is that what you think? Is that why we're here today? It's funny how certain little stories of that I've had with David in the last few days, and Paul and Uncle David as well, caused me to just get all tangled up inside about my faith, my personal faith. Do you have those kind of conversations with people where you just, kind of like the one I was describing earlier, where you talk, maybe it's in Bible class, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's just on the street or on the phone with a brother or sister or something, and you have that conversation where you just kind of come, you meld together, and you're thinking on the same page, and you're thinking, this is me today. This is how I feel. I feel this way every day, and it ain't good, and I want to change it. Or maybe you're on that, maybe it's another, but the different kind of connection, and it's, that's the way I want to feel all the time. I just can't hold it. I can't stay there. You know? It's funny how that kind of stuff happens. Okay, chapter 24. We're going to go through this whole chapter, so you better be prepared to be here until about 3. Chapter 24, I'm going to read verses 1 through 24. And in this, what I want to try to do is show you that, not show you, but share with you, that when I come to the scripture thinking these kind of things that I've just tried to bring you to about where my head is, where my heart is, and I come to the scripture and I'm just opening it up and I'm laying it bare and I'm trying to read and study and learn something, I'm looking for something that's going to reach out and grab me and touch me and help me connect with Jesus himself. And I think we, as disciples here on the Lord's Day today, have missed maybe a little bit of what it might have, of a connection that we can have with the disciples that on verse 1, on, y'all read it, on that on the, these, I call the, these are the disciples of old. We're the disciples of now. They are the disciples of old. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, they took the spices, we know, right, to be used for, but be used for his body, not expecting that it wouldn't. They took the spices prepared and went to the tomb. Verse 2, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you, don't you? Remember? While he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, how do you say that? Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But, let's read that together, verse 11. But they did not, but they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like, does that get you this morning? Faith is something different, isn't it? Belief is something I can't hardly grab hold to so many days of my life. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what's happened? Now, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up. Jesus himself. Can you imagine what that must have been like? We're talking about Jesus himself today, but if you haven't figured that out. But Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. But Jesus himself was there with them. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together?" I can imagine him coming up to me and David when we're discussing something. "What are you discussing together?" As you walk along, they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named, how do you say that, somebody? Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He is a prophet, powerful in word and deed before a God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death." Don't you know this? "He must be a stranger, a visitor." "And they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." He must be, in other words, I believe, he must be dead. It's the third day already. He must be dead. "In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women said, but they did not see." This first section, I believe, describes as something about our Christian walk that I suppose is very similar in their experience and our own. Though we might not like to admit it about them, as we've just been forced to by reading, I'm sure we don't much care to admit it about ourselves either, that we walk around very often, too often, with troubled and sad hearts, not really believing. Don't we? I don't know how else we to describe the emptiness that we feel. Do you? I assume y'all feel empty occasionally in your spiritual life. I do. I don't much care to admit it, but I do. I would say we're pretty much like them disciples, don't you? Wouldn't you? I think very similar. And I mean, they were special men. We know that. We know why and all that. But I think they were just disciples like we are, in the sense that they had troubled hearts, sad hearts. They weren't always on the page, were they? Like a little sad face written there. Next, verse 22 through 26. We're going to go back up and come back forward. 22. "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then then enter his glory?'" Slow of heart, I guess, would be another condition of our discipleship, our Christian walk, wouldn't it? I don't much care to admit it, but I'm slow of heart to believe all too often. Nod yes if you feel that way on occasion. Maybe even today, somehow. I don't know. Whenever, recently, can you remember? Maybe. It's been so long since you've ever felt been slow of heart to believe that you can't remember it. I'm wondering. Yes, no. Just the other day, maybe recently, something's going on. in your world that was shaking it up a little bit, maybe a lot. And you found yourself feeling a little empty place down inside. You know you got faith, you know you got brothers, you know you got sisters, you got family. You come to church every Sunday, you got a habit, you got a church, you got some churchianity going on in your life. But there's just something that was missing, and you couldn't quite put all of your faith, all of your belief, a little slow of heart to do that, in Jesus to take care of this for you. I expect that when we are honest, all of us here, this Lord's Day, kind of find ourselves slow of heart to believe on too many occasions. I know that I do. I mean, we've heard, haven't we? And we know, haven't we, that we must not only believe in a crucified Christ, but a risen Christ. And we know it is our job, our task, our desire, burning maybe within us, to grasp a hold of that idea that He's our risen Christ, not a dead Christ. Try to take it in. But there are times when we find ourselves just lacking the depth of conviction down deep in our souls to fully believe and put Him in control of our life and our decisions. Why? Perhaps it's because we want to feel in our faith more than we want to believe. Maybe we just want to feel. I like to feel. I said a few things earlier. I think it made all of us feel a little bit, didn't it? It made me feel when I was saying it. And that little cycle that I tend to want to go through, be here I am a sinner, saved, I've risen. Doesn't that make you feel? But that's not it. That's not all there is to it. It's not just the feeling. It's the believing. We do seem to prefer, I think, in our human condition, too often in our Christian walk, to, at least I do, to seize control for ourselves. Whatever it is that's, you know, questioning our belief system, or that's causing us to question things, to not put Christ first, whatever it is, I think too often it's our nature to try to seize control, take care of it, so we can put it in a box and say it's okay, and I can move on in my faith and move on in my life past that, right? Does that make sense? Do we do that? We like to seize control. I'm not a control freak, but I do. I do think I am. You know? When I start feeling a little emptiness in my soul, as passionate as I can be about my faith, my Lord has blessed me with faith all around me all of my existence. I know what it's supposed to be. I know what it's supposed to feel like. I know what it sounds like. I've seen it on the faces of my family and friends all of my life. But there's times that I get weak. There's a place that's just, I've been divorced, so I can try to describe this to you. You know, it's that place that just goes empty when somebody leaves that you love. And it just you fill it up with things that are good, and you really do try to fill it up with things that are good and that are wholesome and that will last the time, the test of time. You just never can really fill it all back up the way it was. You know? That same emptiness that I think I know I've felt in that regard is kind of what I feel when I feel like there's an empty spot in my faith. That there's just, I got so much that's going on in my life that's good, but there's, am I making sense? Am I connecting in any way? That there's just this little sliver of my part-shaped heart that just has a crack in it, and it just nothing. I can't get anything to get in there and seal itself inside there and, you know, pull that heart together so it goes, and it's just locked. Nothing else can get in. Nothing else can get out. Maybe. We don't want it that way, but you know what I'm saying? Trying to get it where it's secure, and I can always feel like I feel right now all the time. Am I making sense? Are you? Stay with me here. I will get where I'm going. I'm losing half of you. My family's used to this. Instead of, well, we do, we're too prone to take control. Instead of, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this, as an opposite. And I guess the opposite in my mind would be, we want to take control. It's our nature. Take hold of it. Take care of it by ourselves. But we need to be giving it to Christ and letting Him fill those spots and Him come in there and fix what's wrong. Answer the question that I have in my head that I can't figure out. Whatever it is. But we take control instead of, and I think this is what we ought to be doing, quietly just sinking down. You ever just quietly sank down? Not sat, but sank. Because not sat, you have to kind of do that. To sit, you got to sit. You can't just sit, sat, sat. I mean, you can't. You have to do it. You know, you sink. Sink's different. Sink, you're just going, and it, unless somehow something can get you out of that quicksand that's sinking, that you're sinking in, something's got to get you out of that. You can't. You're sinking. You with me? Sinking. Sink down is what we need to do. Is just let go. I'm not going to hold on to nothing. I don't want nothing around me. I don't need a rail. I don't need something. I'm not going to hold on. I'm not going to control. I'm just going to sink down. Let myself go. You with me on this idea? Sink. What we ought to be doing instead of taking control? Sink down. And settle down on my faith, on my relationship, on my belief. Jesus is my Lord, risen. That God is my Father. And they'll take care of this. I don't have to control it. And believe it. Believe what? What am I talking about? Believe that. What am I saying? What am I trying to say to you? Wake up. That what? That they, being God in Christ, can take care of it. The living Christ, Jesus Himself, can do everything for us. Do we believe that? Now. And go, you know, reverse it. I asked you that before a couple times, haven't I? Do we believe that? I suppose, a little summary, and we're almost. I suppose stage one of the Christian walk is rather ignorance, isn't it? That first stage of the Christian walk that we talked about. Hoping Christ will be more of what we are willing to create room for Him to be. I think that's what was going on in that first, those first 20-some-odd verses we read, wasn't it? People who were not letting quite all of their belief guide them. Reserving a little, a lot of room for their faith in Christ. But just enough room for Him to be there. Not fill it up. You with me? And stage two is simply unbelief. A doubting heart that fully cannot take in the wonderful truth that Jesus lives. And trust that to be rather enough for every need that we have. Stage three. I never did decide if I'm calling these stages or what. But part number three, part of the way I'm thinking about how this chapter relates to my Christian walk. Verses 27 through 35. And beginning, this is just after Christ, just after he said to them how foolish they are for being slow of heart to believe. Verse 27 through 35. And beginning with Moses, there, right after saying that, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they were approaching the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going a little farther. I can see that little scenario playing out. Jesus. But they urged him, wait, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, we've been here before, haven't we? He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Remember, that tells you why they asked him to hang around, doesn't it? It does mean. The reason, back up there when they were walking along and they came to the town that they were going and Jesus acted like he was going to go on a little farther and they said, no, wait, watch us, why don't you come and stay with us? It wasn't because they were concerned that he was going to go on into the night. It's too late for you to go on home. No, their concern was, verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them. Jesus himself was recognized by them when he broke the bread. We do this on Sunday, don't we? I guess they did something. There's a reason for it. Is there not? Is it coming? Are you going, I never ever come for that. Maybe you have. From this window. Now, when I'm honest, I absolutely love this burning heart stage. It may just be the sin blood in me. That's possible. I don't think that's it. I think it's what Jesus does for me. This burning sensation that you get in your heart when you have a relationship with someone and you're walking along and talking along about your faith and Jesus and what he can do, is doing, has done, means to you. Jesus himself, when I'm sharing that relationship, when I'm opening up the Word and just digging in there, my head and my heart just get filled up with all these nuggets of truth that really start making sense in my head, I start to burn. Maybe y'all don't burn. Is that such a weird thing for me? Is it just them and me that burn? I don't think. As a disciple, you've burned, haven't you? Maybe you've been burning this morning in your class this morning. Maybe you study. I love that stage. I love that part of my Christian faith. Getting in there and digging and seeing that it's making sense to me. It's waking me up. It's opening my eyes to the fact that there's something deeper. There's something. But I'm going to be honest with you. The reason that burning stage of my Christian walk, I've decided, it's so important to me. I realize it's because of that missing place. I can believe, I can know. I mean, I'm reversing now and walking back through a summary, right, of the first three stages. I can believe, I can know, I can be taught, I can fellowship, I can habitually practice my faith. Even on Sunday morning. Regularly. And I'm not knocking any of that. Of course, I'm not saying your faith in those ways, however it's coming out and however it's getting practiced, is a bad thing. I'm saying there's something deeper. I'm saying there's something missing. And if you felt it, I know I felt it. And it's not about, like we said, I'm going to digress just a little bit. And it's not about what church I go to.
Well, do you like going to that church?
Well, yeah, it's a pretty good church. I like it. I've been going there or, a couple of weeks. I've been going. I haven't really settled down. I really don't know what. Do you like the pastor? Is he good? Is he preaching? Well, he preaches the word as far as I can tell. You know, he's right out of the Bible. And, you know, I can get something out of it. This building and this whole institute, don't criticize me for saying this, because I'm not trying to smack the church, okay? Churchianity, I am, but not the church. I'm okay with our way of doing things in general. By going into these institutions and locking ourselves up in these buildings and putting ourselves up on a pulpit and telling people a certain past message that is a good message. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking it. But I am saying, for me, there's something missing. I can't help but to believe that there's something missing in other people's hearts too. Surely I'm not the only one that lives a good, clean, wholesome Christian life. But there's just something missing. Do we talk about that very often with people? We don't like to admit it, do we? Of course. But we should, I think. Or at least we should admit it to ourselves. That there's this place inside that just doesn't quite get filled up. Where I'm doubtful a little in my faith. I don't like that. There's a place that I doubt. I believe get in a debate with somebody who's smart enough to talk to you about evolution. I'm not talking about preach to you about evolution. If you haven't before, let yourself have a conversation with someone, even if it's getting a video or a book or something, and go down the pagan road. Let yourself believe. Listen for belief. Listen in order to be convinced about something that's not something you've already accepted as fact. And see how well you can hold on hard. I'm not saying lock your heart up in a closet and watch it and say, oh, no. I mean, let yourself think through like they're thinking through their belief in evolution or whatever. Just open your brain and let yourself think about it. Give it a fair shake. I mean, no, really, give it a fair shake. I got this little place down here. And I ain't going to let nothing bad get in there and start not, you know, pulling my heart. I'll just be fine. I'm okay. I go to church and I do my thing. Burning heart is important. Having a burning heart is important. There's a last stage, I suppose, in the Christian walk that comes from this chapter. When our Christian walk reaches the stage, this last, it's not really the last stage, whatever, this thing that I have gleaned from this passage, I suppose it would be the peaceful, satisfied heart. When we are just no longer satisfied, and we're just not going to put up with it anymore, anything less than Jesus Christ Himself. Every day, every moment, every breath I take, in my world, in my life, I'm just not going to go anywhere else. I refuse to not have Jesus Himself in my life, in my heart, that way, all the time. And I will pursue it with every ounce of energy I have. It's no longer enough for us to feel that Jesus has touched us, that His message has warmed our hearts. I got to have Him. Jesus Himself, unchangeable, dwelling within me, living in my heart, abiding in me forever. We know at that point, and others know, that we have reached this stage when what? Well, let's read this last section. We're going to read 36 through the end of the chapter. You ready? While they were still talking about this, they were still talking. Going on. I mean, this is big stuff that had happened. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. Jesus himself. I love it. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And I'm not being silly. I can emotionally do, if I work at it, I can tug you. You know? And then I can bring you to a place where I can say, "Don't you just have the deepest sense of peace about that? You just feel like you can sink on down. Peaceful with this." Jesus himself. I can't do that. I can't give you peace. You can't give me peace. We think we know what peace is. We talk about it like we do. We don't. Jesus himself, I cannot imagine. Can you? Jesus. When I look at you, I think, when I look at people, I tend to, especially, when I look at a Christian brother, I'm using you because I'm looking at you and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing Jesus himself in you. I'm seeing Jesus in you because I know you. If you were Jesus, if you were just to step right on out of you, and walk up here and say to y'all, "Peace be with you." Don't you, can't you just imagine that it would almost, it'd have to feel like peace. I mean, I'm not being silly. I'm serious. This is Christ Jesus, the one we believe in. Our faith is in this man, this God, this Son of God. Says, I can't go there. I can't. Can you imagine? He wasn't just giving them words. He had given them already what? Himself. Isn't that what it said? Isn't that what we're going? Isn't that what we do right here? That's what we do. It's not just emblems we're passing around. This is Jesus himself. I'm not saying he's in the bread. You know, buy the right bread or he's not in there. That's not. Drink the right wine or the right juice, and then, because his blood's not really in that brand, it's in, that's not what I'm saying. But Jesus, you know I'm not. Are y'all with me on this? The peaceful, satisfied heart stage of the Christian walk. I wish I had a projector. Is right here in this, where we started. And I have to read it because I want to read it like I wrote it. I want to say it like I wrote it because that's the way I felt it. Being a sinner, try to say this with yourself. Examine yourself. As a sinner, being a sinner, washed by the blood of the risen Lamb, again, again, each day I wake, every breath I take, I still remain a sinner. Saved again and again by the blood of the risen Lamb. And it is in this intimate relationship with Jesus himself that I find. On this particular Lord's Day morning, you ready, Matt? On this particular Lord's Day morning, this first day of our week, that I rise again by the blood of the risen Lamb, being a sinner, washed by the blood of the Lamb, I rise. being a sinner. Washed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus himself.
I always give thanks, God, for you because of the grace you have given in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on that day, our Lord Jesus Christ, God who called you into fellowship with his Son, Christ the Lord, is faithful. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at our hands and have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and have testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Number 364.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family.
guess that would be what I would consider episode 4, which Tim talked about. You know, episode 1 being, you know, the establishment of Israel and the promise of Jesus Christ. Episode 2, the 3 years that he spent in his mission. And episode 3, the last week of his life. And that's quite a week. So I'm going to start with episode 3. Jesus is in Bethany at the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. He's risen, and Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and the people are beginning to believe. The Jews are beginning to believe, and the word is spreading about Jesus Christ so much that it's really disturbing the high priest and those that are actually supposed to be the Jewish spiritual leaders, to the point that they decide they're not only going to put Jesus to death, but they're going to put Lazarus to death too. And there are people that are hanging around, you know, just waiting to get a glimpse of Jesus, waiting to hear the next thing he has to say. A woman walks into the house of Lazarus and